Good day out there, everybody. This is John Shomo, your host for the podcast Then and Now. This is episode number 34. As we move into the middle of October, toward the end of October, toward a certain election day and things like that, and we'll cover some topics here that relate to that. First of all, as usual, we will go over facts and anniversaries and birthdays and so forth. We'll do it this week for the week starting October 18th and ending on October 24th. So here we go. We'll start with the date October 18th. On that date in 1867, Russia ceded Alaska to the United States. It was actually a purchase engineered by Secretary of State William Seward at the time. Turned out to be one of the greatest purchases the U.S. government ever made. Birthdays, lots of them for October 18th. The late, great Chuck Berry, one of the pioneers of rock and roll. He was a pioneer for the Beatles and the Stones and people like that. Chuck Berry, born October 18th, 1926. The Academy Award-winning actor, the great, late George C. Scott, born October 18th, 1927. Very famously won the Best Actor Oscar for his portrayal of General George S. Patton. Hall of Famer, Packer offensive lineman in their glory days of the 60s, and former Cleveland Browns and Cincinnati Bengals head coach Forrest Gregg, born October 18th, 1933. Mike Ditka, legend icon in the city of Chicago, where we spent a few days last week. Mike Ditka will be 85. Jean-Claude Van Damme, the actor, will be 64. American skiing great Lindsey Vonn, maybe the greatest skier we ever produced here in America. Lindsey Vonn will be 40. Actor Zac Efron will be 37. My niece Olivia, happy birthday, Olivia. She'll be 34. And born the same day as Mike Ditka, October 18th, 1939, Lee Harvey Oswald, the alleged assassin of President Kennedy. Speaking of which, we have in the works a special podcast edition coming up in November about all things that I know about the Kennedy assassination. That's by popular demand from a few people. So I'm going to work on that and put something out in mid-November, let's say, about that. Moving on, October 19th, General Cornwallis of the British forces surrendered at Yorktown, Virginia, on October 19th, 1781, marking really the end of large-scale military operations in the American Revolution. We've been to Yorktown. We've been to the large field where the surrender took place. It's one of the great, many great places that you can visit and relive history here in the United States. Birthdays on October 19th include Martha Jefferson, the wife of Thomas Jefferson, born Martha Skelton on October 19th, 1741. Actor John Lithgow will be 79. Former heavyweight boxing champ Evander Holyfield will be 62. Amy Carter, daughter of President Jimmy Carter, Amy Carter will be 57. She was a school child when Jimmy Carter was elected president, and he and Rosalind opted very famously to put her in Washington, D.C. public schools, which was a very talked about decision at the time. And former Cavaliers and University of North Carolina center Brad Daugherty, who I had the opportunity to meet one time at a New Year's Eve dinner. Brad Daugherty, very nice gentleman, great player, 59 years old on October 19th. October 20th, the United States Senate ratified the Louisiana Purchase, which had been engineered by President Thomas Jefferson on October 20th, 1803. Jacqueline Kennedy married Aristotle Onassis in what was a big surprise to a lot of folks on October 20th, 1968, just roughly 5 years after President Kennedy was killed. Now, this one's complicated, and I used to teach about this in my history class. The Saturday Night Massacre, October 20th, 1973, in the midst of the whole Watergate affair. President Nixon wanted to fire the man who was investigating him, Special Prosecutor Archibald Cox. He had to go through the Attorney General. That's how you have to do it in the government. So he summoned Attorney General Elliot Richardson and said, Elliot, I would like you to fire Archibald Cox. Richardson saw that it was wrong. It's just an awful thing to try to do. And rather than do it at the president's request, he stepped down. He resigned his position. I've always held Elliot Richardson in great esteem for that. He's passed away since, but an American hero to be sure. So Nixon didn't want to give up. Elliot Richardson resigned. He goes to the assistant attorney general, a guy named William Ruckelshaus. Ruckelshaus said, my boss just resigned over it. I can't fire Archibald Cox. I'm not going to do that. And so Nixon fired him. He goes to the third man on the ladder, Solicitor General Robert Bork. And Robert Bork said, okay, boss, I'll fire Archibald Cox. And he did. Now, how guilty do you look when you go through three people in an effort to fire the guy who's investigating you? That was a key turning point in the Watergate affair in terms of public opinion. A lot of folks, my parents included, wanted to believe President Nixon. They had supported him, and they didn't want to believe all the things that were coming out, you know, for instance, in the stories by Woodward and Bernstein in the Washington Post and on the CBS Evening News and all of that. This was a moment when a lot of folks started to think, he looks really guilty doing this, getting rid of all the people who are investigating him. And as it turned out, you know, yeah, he was guilty of a lot of bad stuff. He had resigned less than a year later after that Saturday night massacre, October 20th, 1973. Birthdays on October 20th include the great Yankee slugger Mickey Mantle, the Mick, born October 20th, 1931. The Dominican dandy, Juan Marichal, one of the great, you know, I don't think he gets nearly enough credit as he should. Juan Marichal was one of the great pitchers. There were a lot of great pitchers who were had their heyday in the 1960s. He's right near the top of the list and kind of gets overshadowed by two or three others. Juan Marichal of the Giants turns 87. The late, great Tom Petty, born October 20th, 1950. He's missed. Vice President Kamala Harris, perhaps you've seen her lately. She will be 60 on October 20th. More about her in a few minutes. Snoop Dogg, who you've seen a lot of this year if you watched any of the Olympics or any advertisements or The Voice or anything like that, Snoop Dogg will be 53. And actor John Krasinski, who very famously played Jim Halpert in The Office, John Krasinski, will be 45. October 21st saw the Battle of Trafalgar in 1805. When the British naval forces defeated the Spanish and French armadas at the cost of the life of the hero of the British Navy, Admiral Nelson. He was killed, but his navy was successful. That's the last you really heard of Spain as a world power, too, wasn't it? Thomas Edison, Ohio-born, invented the light bulb on October 21st, 1879. October 21st, 1975 was one of the most notable baseball games in my lifetime, certainly. Game 6 of the 1975 World Series between the Boston Red Sox and the Cincinnati Reds. Louis Tiant, who just passed away, was the starting pitcher for the Red Sox. The game went extra innings. It was full of amazing plays and ended on the famous walk-off home run by Carlton Fisk, where he waved it fair and it hit the foul pole in left field, and the whole city of Boston celebrated. That was after midnight when that happened. I was still up as a senior in high school watching on TV. Of course, the Red Sox were in the midst of their 86-year drought, and they lost the next night in an excruciating Game 7 at Fenway Park. But that Game 6 is really one of the great baseball games of all time. It really rekindled a lot of interest in baseball at the time. Birthdays on October 21st. Dizzy Gillespie, the famous jazz great, born October 21st, 1917. Alfred Nobel, of Nobel Peace Prize fame, born October 21st, 1833. The late Hall of Fame Yankees pitcher Whitey Ford, born October 21st, 1928. Current Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will be 75. Carrie Fisher, the late actress, famous for her role in Star Wars. Carrie Fisher was born October 21st, 1956. And somehow celebrity Kim Kardashian will be 44. October 22nd saw the charter of Princeton University in New Jersey in 1746. On October 22nd, 1962, President Kennedy went on national television to address the nation on the facts of the Cuban Missile Crisis. By that time, a lot of people knew something serious was up, but they didn't quite know what. He wanted to get all his ducks in a row in terms of a naval blockade and so forth before he went on TV and explained the situation, as dire as it was, to the American public. It's a very famous speech. A lot of people really remember who were live then really remember that one. Birthdays, October 22nd, Curly Howard of the Three Stooges, born October 22nd, 1903. Hall of Fame slugger Jimmy Fox, double X, born October 22nd, 1907. Actor Christopher Lloyd, a lot of great roles he's played, including the one in Back to the Future. Christopher Lloyd will be 86. And a guy who will be on the ballot here in just a couple of months for the Baseball Hall of Fame, and in my view, should be a unanimous selection, and there's only been one of those ever, Mariano Rivera. This is Ichiro Suzuki. Ichiro will be 51 on October 22nd. The guy got 1,000 hits in the Japanese League, came over here, got 3,000 hits in the major leagues, was a superior right fielder, the best one I've seen since Roberto Clemente. And if you know me, that's saying something. Ichiro, I can't imagine, maybe somebody will. There are jerks who vote in the Hall of Fame voting. I can't imagine anybody voting against Ichiro Suzuki. Okay, a couple more dates here. October 23rd, 1945. Jackie Robinson, fresh out of the United States Army, signed a contract with the Brooklyn Dodgers. He would report to their AAA team in 1946 and played that year in Montreal for the Montreal Royals, the Dodgers AAA farm club, and then very famously started his major league career and changed the face of America in 1947 with the Dodgers. On October 23rd, 1983, 241 U.S. Marines died in a suicide bombing of their barracks at the Beirut, Lebanon airport. The U.S. troops were part of a peacekeeping force there in Lebanon, and 241 of those Marines were killed. October 23rd, 1993, at the Sky Dome, as it was called then in Toronto, Joe Carter, former Cleveland Indian, hit a home run in the bottom of the ninth of Game 6, a walk-off to win the World Series against the Philadelphia Phillies. Mitch Williams was the pitcher who delivered that pitch. Joe Carter touched them all and went into baseball history. Birthdays include John W. Heisman, the Heisman Trophy's namesake, former Akron University coach. John W. Heisman, born October 23rd, 1869. The king of late night, the greatest late night host ever, I think it's not debatable even, Johnny Carson, born October 23rd, 1925. A Hall of Fame pitcher turned U.S. Senator, Jim Bunning of Kentucky, pitched for the Tigers and the Phillies. Jim Bunning was born October 23rd, 1931. That's some career, isn't it? Arguably the greatest soccer player ever from Brazil, Pelé. Born October 23rd, 1940. Doug Flutie, the 1984 Heisman Trophy winner for the Boston College Eagles and a long pro career both in Canada and the United States. Doug Flutie will be 62. Actor Ryan Reynolds will be 48 on October 23rd. Finally this week, a look at October 24th. Mount Vesuvius erupted, burying the city of Pompeii on October 24th, 79 AD. We're going back a long way for that one. Some birthdays, Bob Kane, the co-creator of the character Batman, born October 24th, 1915. Hall of Fame quarterback for the San Francisco San Francisco 49ers, you'll see what I did there in a minute, and the New York Giants, Y.A. Tittle, born October 24th, 1926. The former bassist of the Rolling Stones, Bill Wyman, will be 88. He quit the band in 1993. He was part of the original Stones lineup for about 30 years or so. Ian Baker Finch, the 1991 Open champion and CBS golf commentator, will be 64. Drake will be 38. And world champion Boston Celtics guard forward, superior player, Jaylen Brown, will be 28 years old on October 24th. You go, JB. All right, that's it for our birthdays and anniversaries for this week. More next week, for sure. Now on to some current event topics there, and then we'll get to three good questions. Tammy and I took a trip to Chicago this past week, and among other things, many other things, including lots of good meals, we went to the Chicago Marathon, which was run on Sunday. Shout out, first of all, to everyone at the GRC Run Club for their support of Matt and their hospitality to us all weekend. They had a great hosta event Friday evening, which was really good. Matt's experience was for about 14 miles going great. He was on pace to run about a 3:20. He was having a good time. We saw him at mile 3 at LaSalle, and we saw him at mile 13 on Wacker Drive. And he was in high spirits and running as well as he wanted to and waving high and gave me an OH one of those times. And then we boarded a train, an L, to take down to mile 23 where the run club had some tents set up and so forth. And as we were going there, we looked at his pace and found that it had deteriorated fairly rapidly. He had suffered a fall in mile 14. Somebody cut him off, cut right in front of him. He went down. He sprained his ankle pretty badly. He wouldn't have had to finish to have my esteem, but he did. He wound up finishing the race, not in the time he wanted, obviously, but it's a medal well-earned, I would say, for sure. So congratulations to Matt and all of the people involved in the Chicago Marathon. It is such a massive event. There were 50,000 runners and 2 million of us spectating on Sunday. Just people everywhere. And it's one of the six big marathons in the world, one of the six that really count. Great job by everybody organizing, and it's just the size of the event is just enormous. While we're at it, shout out to a couple of nice places to eat over there in Chicago, the Cozy Corner, where we go every time we visit, right by, hard by the California L station, and the Golden Nugget at Western and Diversey, which we tried for the first time this trip and was a very nice breakfast joint. So shout out to those places as well. Moving on, the ALCS, not good for the Guardians. The Yankees have gone up 2-0, winning two games in the Bronx. The game, as I record this, last night, game two was played. It was there for the taking, I thought, for Cleveland. Garrett Cole was not sharp for the Yankees, but Cleveland's got to have their starters go past the second inning, right? I know they have a great bullpen, but you got to get some length out of your starting pitchers, and they haven't. They played sloppy defense last night, didn't get enough hitting. Jose looks like he's breaking out of it a little bit. But it's 2-0 for the Yanks, and we move back to Cleveland for Game 3, which will be played on Thursday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday in Cleveland at Progressive Field. Obviously, Cleveland has to win at least 2 out of 3, I think, to move on. So let's go. Let's do it. But they're going to have to sharpen up and tighten up the defense. It's really lacking right now. In the NLCS, the Mets and Dodgers split the first two games at Dodger Stadium. They're moving to what I'm sure will be a raucous Citi Field in Queens for Game 3. That is Wednesday night, starting tonight as we record here. So that'll be interesting to see. Can the Mets or the Dodgers take an advantage in the next three games in New York? I would like to make a new rule proposal for Major League Baseball. I'm watching all these playoff games, and back in the day, I mean, it wasn't too long ago, really. I know I'm getting older, but one of the real draws of anticipating a big baseball game was, who are the starting pitchers going to be? What's the starting pitching matchup? If there's a big series this weekend, the Pirates and the Phillies back in the 70s, how do the starting pitchers line up? We need to get back to starting pitchers going 6 or 7 innings regularly. I know, maybe it's a pipe dream, but I think the game was better then. It gave fans something to look forward to. You really looked forward to those great pitching matchups. Now these guys are just, they're out there and then get in trouble in the 4th or 5th inning. They get pulled and it's crazy. I would propose the following rule, that roster limits would be set to limit the roster of a major league ball club to 11 pitchers. If you have a doubleheader that day, you can add a pitcher and have 12. Instead of what it is now, I think it's 13 pitchers now, 14 if you have a doubleheader on that day. Maybe guys ought to not throw maximum effort every pitch. That's how starting pitchers used to do it. A lot of them I remember as a kid, but not too long ago, Justin Verlander in his days with the Tigers, he'd throw 92, 93 mile-an-hour fastballs with movement. And then if he really needed to bear down and get a strikeout in the 6th or 7th inning, then you'd see 96, 97, a little extra. That's how guys used to pitch complete games or 7 or 8 innings in a start. I think baseball would be much better off if we returned to that sort of starting pitching arrangement. I don't know, maybe it's just me. Maybe you drop us a line at threegoodquestions@gmail.com. If you have a counterpoint, a counter argument or something, we'll put it on one of the future podcasts. But I just, I'm tired of watching bullpen games. It's just, A, takes forever. B, it's just not really kosher in my opinion. Okay, there. I got that off my chest. All right. Speaking of getting stuff off my chest, the Browns are a disaster this year. Well, let's just be honest. They have the worst quarterback play in the National Football League, and that's not even close. Kevin Stefanski's a good coach. He's a good offensive mind. He's twice NFL Coach of the Year. But he looks like a hostage when he's doing his pressers on Monday and says, we're going to stick with Deshaun at quarterback. And it's like somebody has a gun to his head in the background or something. I know that those orders are coming from the owner's box. They have this massive contract that they don't want to eat. It's a complete mess. And it's discouraging, and they're 1-5, and they're still playing the guy at quarterback. And, I know Nick Chubb's returning this week, which is fabulous. Good for him. We love him. Want him to stay healthy. But, man, there's no light at the end of the tunnel for the Browns as long as that guy's at quarterback. That's just not going to happen. I would mention while we're on the topic of football briefly and media that Tom Brady got a nod from the league. He is now a 10% owner of the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, what's interesting about that is he's also Fox Sports' primary commentator, if you will, on their primary team every Sunday in the announcing booth with Kevin Burkhardt. The deal to be owner comes with some strings attached. He can't do certain things or say certain things now in the booth as an analyst. He can't criticize another team's operations. He can't criticize officiating. I think it really limits what he's able to do as a broadcaster. I don't know how they're going to deal with that. Either the broadcast and analytics from Tom Brady are going to be pretty boring, or he's going to have to eventually give that up if he wants to stay 10% owner of a team. So that's something to look for as the weeks and maybe years go on. How is he going to balance that and the limitations he now has in commenting on games when his job is to comment on games? I don't know. We'll see. But I'm not a big Tom Brady fan anyway, but we'll see how he handles it. I don't know. All right. Meanwhile, we are 20 or so days from Election Day here in 2024, and it appears that the Republican candidate for president is coming unglued. There was a campaign event on Monday in Oaks, Pennsylvania, which is a really far-out suburb of Philadelphia, and it was just frightening to see the guy. He kind of shut down and just kind of bopped and swayed on stage to different songs for more than a half an hour straight. They finally let him off the stage. There had been a couple medical situations in the crowd early on, but they were handled quickly. That happens at big events like that. That's happened at a lot of political rallies. You stop, you make sure the medics have it under control, and then you continue what you're doing. He couldn't or didn't, and it looks like he's really just coming apart at the seams, talking kind of aimlessly a lot. But he just kind of shut down. It was kind of scary, actually, to see. My thought there is if Joe Biden's age and capability were reasons to not run, and in the end, they were. Joe's not as sharp. I'm not talking mentally, but in terms of his speaking ability, in terms of his ability to move around, it's been diminished in the last 4 years. There's no two ways about it. He was persuaded to not run back in the middle of summer. His problems pale in comparison to what I see Trump going through right now, really, if I'm honest with myself. Meanwhile, Vice President Harris is making the rounds of as many radio talk shows as you can think of, and not just sticking to Democratic-friendly shows. She's going on every radio program, it seems, from Charlemagne the God to Joe Rogan, for crying out loud. And what we should do, I think, as voters, is compare her answers to those questions that she gets on those podcasts or TV interviews or whatever she does. She did the 60-minute 60 Minutes interview and Trump didn't. Compare her answers to any answer that Trump gave Tuesday at the Chicago Economic Club, for instance. And the word salad that comes out of his mouth these days compared to her very lucid answers. Now, everybody can disagree on policy. That's our right as Americans. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about who would you want negotiating for the United States at a table in an international crisis? Take a look at those people and think about that question is what I would ask you to do before you decide on who you're going to vote for. I think it's a real issue. I think it's a real serious issue there moving forward. But anyway, that's my thoughts on this week in the campaign. I have already voted, so that's all done with. Don't have to go down there and fight the crowds on election day, and that's the goal. So, all right, that's a lot. We had a lot of topics. I probably could have put a couple more in there, but you know, we really want to limit this to less than an hour. So we'll move on to the three good questions segment of our podcast. If you have a good question to send in, always looking for them. The email address once again is threegoodquestions@gmail.com. Three, T-H-R-E-E, not the number, goodquestions@gmail.com. We had a question from last week about the World Series. There was a question, who played in the first World Series, which team won, and when was it played? So here are the answers. That was Jeff Cole's question. He got half of them. I asked the question. Jeff answered. He got it half right. The Pittsburgh Pirates were the National League champions. They lost to the Boston Red Stockings, the American League champions, 5-3. The year was 1903. The first World Series was played in 1903 between the Pirates and the Red Stockings. Okay, Jeff sent in a couple of new questions. Let's get to those. First of all, where was the first scheduled NFL championship game played? What city and what venue? Where was the first scheduled NFL championship game played? If you think you know the answer, email us at threegoodquestions@gmail.com. And just got one from him today. I'll throw it out there for you guys as well. Only 7 quarterbacks have appeared in at least 4 Super Bowls. Who are they? I got 6 of them, if you want to use that as a measuring stick. Only 7 quarterbacks have appeared in at least 4 Super Bowl games. Not won them, but appeared in them. Name them. Who are they? Okay. Thank you, Jeff. And again, if you have an answer or have a question, we're always looking for good questions. Give us a shout out on the email address there. Okay. That's it for a busy episode 34 of Then and Now. As always, I'm so appreciative of all our listeners. I pop up at these places in Chicago and people say, oh, you're the podcast guy. And I just can't get over that. I'm very humbled by it. And I'm very appreciative of all of you who listen and who choose us out there. There's lots of choices. And it's very humbling to me that a lot of you have chosen Then and Now. Much appreciated. So we'll sign off for now for episode 34. I'm John Shomo. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again next week. Have a great week, everybody.